last week we got up to his question, right? What's the big secret in my celebrations? Right?
Yeah.
That, where does it lie? If you're going to say it's nature, so then you need no nature. Scientists and doctors, the Khoury apparently, right? They were experts in agriculture. So that's that was that. You can't say that you can't learn that. And And if you're going to say that it's not a study of science, then it's Maizu Merkava. And what else is it? There's physics and metaphysics. Where's the middle ground? Right? Okay. Machu Bizet. You want to do it?
Sure.
Which,
Do you know which
page you dialed at the beginning of that paragraph?
Yudala.
The first paragraph. Mm. Just on that page. Mm.
Vatshuva b'zeh, ki ein safek ki maaseh breishis hi chokhmas hateva.
Definitely science.
Aval lo mi'oso tzad shehis chokhmu bo anashim mitzad mechkarim.
Okay, it's a very deep idea he has over here. I mean, we have to translate it into more modern terms, but it's almost scary how accurately it's translated into modern terms. You read it?
I think we talked about this idea.
Did we talk about it? I don't remember. Okay, so what he's saying, he says that really is nature. Okay, but it's not nature that you learn from investigation. Okay, it's not knowledge of nature that you discover, that man discovers through investigation. Go ahead.
But rather,
it's from what the idea is hidden from investigation. Kind of a little bit of a cryptic. It's hard to translate. It's from Ela Mitzad. Notice, where does this knowledge come from? The knowledge doesn't come from investigation. It comes from the idea. A hidden idea, a knowledge that is hidden from the grasp of investigation. It's a type of knowledge that's beyond the ability of investigation.
How is that more than what he said before, that you can't get it through investigation?
It's the flip side of the thing. He's saying it's not what you get from investigation, right? But it's a certain type of knowledge that is beyond the grasp of investigation.
Velosi vada ala veshefa eloki.
It's something you can only know through a type of nevuah.
Okay.
Right?
Revahu shiyesh lechol hanimtsayim shnei fa'alim. Pol hanimshach achar chamaram, ufol hanimshach mitzad surasam. Asher hu atmusam.
Now here's where he starts getting into their lingo. But he's saying that what? He says there are two... He says everything has two activities. Okay. There's an activity that stems from its substance, all right? And there's an activity that stems, there are actions that stem from its form, which is its essence. Okay? So again, I mean, it requires a translation of frameworks, you know, from... from the way they looked at things to the way we understand things to be. But let him elaborate on it. But he's saying there's two things. There's a substance and there's a form. Go ahead.
Hapalim hanimshachim mitzad chamram, yivadu mitzad hachakira umitzad hasagas mikrehim.
Okay, that's the important part. He's saying there are certain things that you learn from the substantial, from the substance of an entity. And how do you understand those? How do you understand that? That you understand from Chakira, but what are you investigating?
The accident.
You're investigating certain accidents, certain occurrences. Okay, and that was a good an experiment. Was an experiment to investigate? What really does an experiment investigate? What's that?
Mm-hmm.
It investigates how the thing reacts, how it behaves in a certain environment. So what you're really investigating is the thing's interactions. Right? That's what you're investigating. That's what you can learn about things when you conduct experiments. Right? You learn what happens when how does the thing react in a certain controlled environment. That's going to tell you something about it. Right? Go ahead.
Aval asher mitzad surasan I afshar shivadu b'shum panim mitzad hachakira al mitzad ma shehotziyo hanisayon la'or.
Now he's saying that what? But the activities that stem from what? From the tzura, from the form, that's impossible to know from chakira. Right? How do you know that? Ella what?
I just lost my thing. Ella mitzan ma shehotziyo hanisayon la'or.
Rather from what the trial brings to light. Okay. Meaning, I think what he means to say is, yeah.
Is that you can't understand the accidents of the essence? Oh wait, no. You can't. But you can only understand the. Oh yeah.
No, I think what he's saying is, I mean, it's very advanced scientific thinking. Right. I mean, the scientific method was not developed until Galileo, really. Right. But sounds like he's saying like this. That what? I mean, if you take what he's saying, what's he saying? He's saying there's certain things that come from the form, from the chomer, from the substance, right? Now, what do you really learn? You learn its occurrences, mikrayim, okay? But then there's a certain abstraction, correct? You abstract from that. What does the result bring to light? What is the a certain idea that you're trying to? That was you're not really when you conduct an experiment, right? You are seeing interactions, but that's not what you want to learn. You don't want to learn the thing's interactions. You want to try to deduce from it something about its nature, right? But the experiment is never directly on its nature. You can't experiment on the thing's nature directly.
Why not?
Because we don't have that kind of apparatus. We don't have any apparatus like that. A nature detector. We don't have that. We can only... I mean, like in today's science, you know, you can bombard something with atoms. Or you can shoot particles at an atom. I mean, right? And what do you do? You see where they scatter. You see what scatters out. Right? You can subject an entity to extreme circumstances. And then you see what's the occurrence. What occurs. Right? That's the substance. But you might get a piece. You say, okay, there's a substance like this. But now you've got to fit it together. How does the whole thing function? That requires a whole analysis, right? But when you conduct the experiment is conducted with the substance of the thing. But you're trying to understand its true nature. You're trying to understand how it really exists, what makes it tick. Michael,
if what it does is determined by its nature, then why can't we deduce its nature based on what
we
it
can,
does?
We can deduce it somewhat. We can deduce it somewhat. But
it's
that's
never
going to
be in the form of a result of an experiment.
But what?
What's it like?
That's never going to be...
The or Yotzil or?
Yeah.
That, he says there's two aspects of it. There's the substance and the form. Okay? Substance, I guess, we could say, is what it's composed of, its elements, right? What is it composed of? But the form, he says, is the essence of the thing. Meaning to say, what is its true nature? How does it truly work? Okay, it's hard to put them into exact terms, but in other words, like the atom. What is really going on? You can tell me there's electrons, etc. But that doesn't tell me how it works, right? Doesn't tell me how they stay together, what they're doing when no one's watching them. There's a lot of questions, right? So that's the real tzura. That's the true tzura that you're trying to get to. That's what they call tzura, the essence of the thing. Right? Now, they had an idea of a form, and the substance is just a manifestation of a truer, pure idea. But the form means its essence, basically.
Is it always the essence of the thing? Because sometimes you could be revealing a law in nature. Like you drop an apple, you're not seeing, and it hits the ground, you're not seeing something in the apple, you're seeing the law of gravity.
Well, you're seeing how bodies interact. You're seeing a certain interaction. I mean, it takes a chacham to know what he's seeing. It takes a chacham to realize what type of substances he's really, where the true interaction is taking place. Is it an apple and dirt? Is it matter? Is it, you know what I'm saying? It takes a certain chacham to get down to a bottom to what the true experiment is revealing. But he's saying, he's making a two points. He's saying there's the substance of the thing, and then there's its true nature, its true form. Okay? The experiments never directly taps into the true form. You'll never get out a result. It's like observation. It's like Sajigon says. We have to start with observation. Right? We can't just tap directly into a reality. We have to go through observation. So we want to understand how something works. First we have to observe its actions. Right? That's an experiment. But through the analysis of what we observe, we try to figure out how it really works. Somewhat of a reverse engineering. But your goal is to understand how the thing exists on its own. But the only way we can ever understand how it exists on its own is by subjecting it to external interactions. That's the modern day paradox. I mean, that is the modern-day paradox.
Because you have all the capabilities to do that, but you don't.
Because you can't observe the atom. I mean, that's the whole paradox. That the observing, well, whatever. But let's say, like, I don't know, it seems to be machlokas if it's, but let's say the old way people say it, at least, is that the observation changes the thing. Right? On a gross scale, the fact that there are photons bombarding you doesn't really change you much, right? Even in Florida, right? Maybe long term, it brings the. But when you get down to tiny, tiny particles, right? You can't even observe them because it changes what it is. The interaction is the photon is like as big as the some of the things you're trying to observe. So it creates a paradox. You understand? But that's an extreme example of what he's saying.
There's no more interaction.
Because look, what he's saying is basically is that you can only get to interactions. That's how we can gain knowledge. By interactions, which is an experiment, right? Correct? But you don't really want to know how the thing interacts. That's not the knowledge you're trying to gain. You're trying to gain the knowledge of how the thing is on its own. Right? You don't want to know how does it interact. That's not the end point of your knowledge. Through how it interacts, you want to know something about it. Right?
So then the reason why you will always, though you may define it to a degree, you'd never define it fully, is because of the possibilities you could study it, you're always going to partake of the interaction side, because
that's
you'll
right.
never be able to.
So we're intrinsically limited on the grasp of how deep we can get to its own existence, because it has existences without interaction. It has an existence without an interaction. Its own intrinsic existence, but we can never directly get that. We are limited to always seeing it as it interacts, which is not truly what we want to know. Right? It's not truly what we want to know. Okay. I think that's what he's saying. I mean, as astounding as it sounds for his era.
But we couldn't... But
right? That's what he's saying.
We can't observe it, but we can still know.
How? How do we know things through not through observation?
Deduction.
That's through an observation. First you observe something, and then you what? What'd you call it? Induction?
Deduction.
Induction. I just know what you said. But you're limited to your facts, right?
But you observe it in. The only thing you can observe is it by itself, right?
You can't observe it without being observed.
But if you observe, all right, okay, fine. If you observe everything else except for that, you could understand how it acts by itself. You can
take a good guess. You can take a good guess.
You can't know.
But you're intrinsically limited. You're intrinsically limited. It's a logical impossibility. There's a logical ceiling on the knowledge. That's what he's saying. There's a logical ceiling on the knowledge. To say that science will reveal the truest nature of the thing is an impossibility, he's saying. Because science will be limited to knowledge gained through interaction, which is not the true knowledge of the thing itself. It's always a different thing.
Unlike something like halacha, where you have a limited amount of... You know all of the manifestations of...
Well, halacha is different. I mean, what is halacha without interactions? I mean...
Well, I'm just asking, what's the difference between this and is there any knowledge that...
Because halacha is just guiding your interactions with the world. That's what halacha does. It tells you how to interact with the world.
No essence without interactions in halacha?
In halacha?
What about something like a halachic chalos shem? Like,
have you seen one recently?
Have I seen one?
Okay, that's off the course here. Let's go back to what he's saying. Go ahead.
V'gam ki neda pa'aleihem mitzad ha'nisayon, lo neda sibas pa'aleihem klal.
So you'll never really understand the true underlying cause of their... You can do experiments. You can work out ideas. But the true underlying cause, you're not going to understand. You can guess. You can make educated guesses.
כי אנחנו נדע בפלפל שהוא מחמם.
See, it goes back to our cayenne pepper, the loaded pepper. Yeah.
Okay.
We know that the pepper heats things up.
ונדע סיבת החימום.
And we know the reason for it.
להיות היסוד האישי גובר עליו.
Because it has a lot of heat in it.
מפני שזה נמשך אחר חומרו.
Because that's part of its substantial component. That's part of its substance, is it partakes of the element of fire. Right? Partakes of the element of fire.
If you're ever cold, gather a bunch of peppers.
Don't mock. Go ahead.
אבל אם היא שנדע שהאדם צוחק ושהאבן השואבת מושכת הברזל, נדע זה מצד שהוציאו הניסיון.
So he says, if you know that a person laughs, okay, and that the magnet attracts iron, okay, how do you know that? You know that through experiment, right? But you don't know its cause. Because that's part of its nature. I mean, look, he can't exceed his facts. The facts of his times, but what he said in terms of absolute knowledge is true. But that's what he's trying to give examples. That you can know that this metal does this. You can know it has these reactions. You can know it has these properties. But that's just the way it interacts. But what is really underlying that? That's its nature. Yeah.
Is he saying that we do know pepper, but we don't know lead? It sounded like he gave an underlying reason
he's
for pepper.
No, he's saying, he's saying pepper you can know. Because A is saying comes from its substance. Saying things from its, that's going back to the other chilut. Things that stem from its substance you can know. You can know it has an element of ash in it. I don't want to dwell on this. Yeah.
I still don't understand the main point. Like, what are we doing when we do
it?
Induction. Like, what is that then? I mean,
you're trying to get to that. You're trying to understand it.
So, in what sense does that fail?
Because why is it's that logically always limited. Impossible? It's always limited to answering how it reacted. But you can never give a knowledge. You can never give knowledge about it.
Uh-huh.
How it exists apart from reactions.
Okay.
But a thing exists apart from reactions.
I see.
Right? Yeah.
How do we know that?
How do we know that it exists apart from reactions? Because we see it exists when there are reactions. And we guess we assume it doesn't...
Maybe it's necessary for its
disappear
existence
when it's not reacting.
To interact.
That's like a science fiction idea. But what? It's necessary for what's existence?
The object. Or
so then the object has to exist without the interaction. Right? Otherwise it's just a brute just created at this instant. Right? Otherwise there's no continuum of it. It's not it anymore.
Right. So that's what you mean when you say that the best we can have are just guesses, because...
No, we can only get to that knowledge of answering how this reaction occurred. But there is knowledge. Now, take a person. Take a person, right? So, you can understand a certain amount about a person by observing how he interacts, right? But we all know there are certain things that are deep, deep within us that don't come out necessarily, that are not brought out by any interactions. And we never reveal them. Right? You can never get to that deeper knowledge of that individual. That type of knowledge about the person's true underlying nature is impossible for you to probe. Because it doesn't ever come out through any interaction. It never has any effect. It has no visible effect.
Exists.
What about for less complicated thing?
You think the nature of existence is less complicated?
Let's take something that's easier that we know more about. I mean,
right.
Obviously the human being is quite complicated.
I don't mean things that you don't know about yourself. So you can know things about yourself that we will never be able to deduce from subjecting you to all kinds of tests. Right? Okay. Certain things we can. I know if you get very angry over small things, I can make a certain judgment about your personality. You know, different things. But there are deeper ideas that are not mysterious to you. You might know them, right? And everybody probably knows them about themselves to some degree. But they simply never are revealed through interaction. Right? I mean, sometimes that itself tells you something about a person, if he doesn't react. But I'm just giving that as a marshal. Mm-hmm. But there is something in you. Knows that without the interaction, you have no access to it. You simply have no access to that knowledge without the interaction. Now, just like it's foolish to think that something that's smaller than the eye can see doesn't exist, it's also foolish to think that because you can't probe it with other apparatus, doesn't exist. Right? It exists, it's just we can't get it. Without causing a reaction, we have no basis for knowledge. But there is the thing as it exists on its own. Right? Everything exists on its own and with others. We only can gain knowledge of how it coexists with others. We can't get to that deeper knowledge. We went tremendously far with the first type of knowledge. But there is a limitation. And that, he says, is Maisa Bereishis. Go ahead. It's impossible to open that door up. It's sealed. It's sealed to a Doresh HaChochma, the Mechkar Anushi. Levad lo yiftach. It will never be opened through investigation. Because it's the knowledge that is not subject to investigation. That is the very knowledge he's talking about. And he's positing that type of thing exists because the thing exists even without interaction.
Vein safik ki apolim hamischayvim mitzad chomer hadavar be'erech el hamischayvim mitzad etzam hadavar k'mar midli.
Now he's saying an interesting thing, Daniel. He's saying, I don't know where he gets where he knows this from, but he's saying that the things that stem from the, this is still a little bit unclear, he's going back to the Surah and Chomer thing. He's saying the things that stem from its true nature are much, much greater, right?
In Chomer, the substance?
Yeah.
He's just translating.
I'm doing it backwards. Right? Did I have it the right way? Yeah. That the ones that are from the substance are like a drop in the bucket compared to the ones that come from its true essence. Right?
Keilu yotim me amitas hadavar va'atzmuso ve'ilu nimshachim mimikrav shehim yotim amitasa.
Because some come from its true essence, right? And the other ones come from its accidents. That's the thing, the substance is just like an accidental thing. It's very hard to go back into that type of scientific approach. But let's go on a little bit, go ahead.
Okay, ve'ilu hapalim hayotim mitzad hatsura, him nislim mitzad nosne hatsura.
Yeah, this is very hard for us to understand. I mean, this is a different approach again. It comes from like, he held that the tsura comes from like malachim.
Oh, nosen is a shiyeh, or something.
Something like gives it a tsura. Something gives it a tsura. It's not for us.
Right.
Go ahead. Right. But the point is, you got to take it out of his. But what he's saying is an eye-opening thing. He is defining. He's defining Maaseh Merkava. He's saying its nature, its scientific nature. Maaseh Bereishis. It's scientific knowledge of nature, but it's like. It's the nature of the thing itself. It's like if somebody could just tell you off the bat exactly how an atom is. Right? Just an atom, exactly how it is. That's knowledge you would never be able to get with the biggest atomic collider. You'd never be able to get there. You're trying to get there. You're trying to get as close as you can. Right? But you'll never get there. It's like if I could just give you the image of exactly what's going on in the all those models that they tried to construct. I mean, now they come up like for instance a photon, right? There's no way to describe it. There's no way to understand it, right? It has sometimes it's like a wave, sometimes like a particle. We can't imagine a thing like that. Or they say, like, an electron cloud. Where is the electron? It's not anywhere. There's just probabilities of where it is. But where is it? So some say it's not really anywhere. I mean, these are all attempts at trying to conjure an image of an electron, of the atom. But we can't get to that knowledge. All we can really know is how it interacts, and probability is a good methodology. But it doesn't, probability will tell you how it's going to react, how it'll interact. But to say that's what it is, that's what they try to do, and that's a mistake. They're trying to take all of the equations which predict how the thing acts and say that's what it is. That's a denial of this Duran. That's a denial of Meissner Bereshis.
You're saying every experiment that we see is really only the result of its substance? Or
correct, the result of its essence. Result. Some of it is of the substance, he says, but mainly it's of its essence. But I don't want to go into that type of a chilek anymore. That's not a good chilek for us to obsess over. But but that's what he's saying. He's saying it's, you're not going to get to the thing.
I mean, what are we doing?
Well, it depends. It depends if you know this idea or not. Yeah, Dave.
Is it a description of the thing? Is that all it is?
It's how it reacts. You want to know where the electron is going to be? You can use the formula. You want to have an idea of the true underlying workings of it? You're not going to get it. Yeah.
How exactly do you denial of Meissner-Bereshis?
To say that the formula is how the thing is you're saying that there is no greater knowledge than just how it reacts. But Meissner-Bereshis is saying there is a greater knowledge. It's like God's idea of the atom, so to speak. Right? God's knowledge of the atom. It's not the uncertainty principle that you can be sure of. Right? It's not a Schrodinger wave function. Right?
Whatever.
So you have two guys, Schrodinger and Heisenberg, right? Heisenberg was a real Russia. Big anti-Semite. He stayed with Hitler.
Yeah.
Schrodinger was a good guy. Yeah, but Schrodinger, he didn't like the uncertainty.
Yeah, the cat. Right?
The cat. James cat. Yeah. But it turned out all of his formulas, they say, all came back to the same exact thing. Turned out to be exactly the same. Just a different way of doing it. Okay. Anyway. Go ahead. We'll do a little further.
Zechus Amar Shlomo B'Chachmasal. Kol zo nisisi v'chachma, amarti echma v'hi rachok mimeni. Rachok ma shahaya v'amok amok, mi mitayna.
Yeah, so that's because he says that he tested it with chachma, and I said I'm going to become wise, and then it's very far from me. Rachok ma shahaya. Okay, it's far that which was. Deep, very deep. Who can find it? Okay? So what was he talking about? So Chazal say that what? He's talking about the paradumas or the measures?
I think so, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yurta b'zeh, ki mashu omer she'achachma rechokum imenu, omer achar kach rachok ma shehaya.
Yeah, so he says a lot, it sounds redundant, right? It sounds redundant. First he says, nasisi b'chachma. I tested it with chachma. I said I'm going to become wise. And it was far from me. And then he says again, Rachok ma shehaya. Why? It's like repetitive. Go ahead. So he's going to explain it.
So kolomar lo sachshov she'amro shehu rachok lo yihiezek.
So when he first said rachok mimeni, right, doesn't mean that what?
Is it lo yihiezek ki im b'hasagas hadvarim ha'asidim, aval she'uchal la'amod al amitas ma shekvar haya.
Beautiful pshat. I was saying, you can say rechoka mimeni, you could say rechoka mimeni means that I can't predict what's going to, I can't predict the future. Right? I don't know it well enough to be able to tell you what it's going to do. But I can explain exactly what happened. That's one type of knowledge. Right? One type of knowledge is That's the most, right? Every analyst is always this type of knowledge. I can tell you exactly why a thing happened. What's going to happen tomorrow? I have no idea. Right? But he's saying, that's not what he was saying. That was the first Rechoka. But then he said even more.
Ki gam ma shahaya v'nishlam, matasi oso amuk mimini, lo eda lo siva.
But not only that I can't understand what's going to be, right, even that which happened in this complete, that's too deep for me. I can't find the true cause of what even occurred. Right?
V'shu haya yodea mi yodea chachma shuchin. L'chein amar kol zo nisisi b'chachma.
And he's saying, and how did Shlomo know this? From his investigations into Chachma.
Ki kvar hodu kol ha-mishak kol ha-mishak mim shezehu. Rishon lomar yedias atzmei advarim v'hapulos ha-nimshachas mehem davar lo taspik b'ha-chakira.
So he's saying that all of the ones who make themselves wise admit that this means they to know the thing itself, its essence, right, and all of its actions that come from that essence is something that the chakira will not suffice. It's an amazing thing. Yeah. So what kind of a thing is it that you can know why it happened but not know what's going to happen in the future? What type of a knowledge is that?
Is that real knowledge? Because I mean, like, if you knew
it happens, right? Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you knew why it happened, then that would mean that you understand.
What's that?
Is there any other knowledge
other than real knowledge?
No, other than this knowledge.
No, I mean.
Well, we seem to have knowledge of certain things how they can
based off of this. But
he is saying there's a knowledge where I can't figure out what's going to happen, but I can tell what happened, right? And then he's saying, and that even that, I really realize now that I don't understand the true reason of why it happened, mm-hmm. right? I don't understand the true underlying cause from its own nature of why.
If he did, then he'd be able to.
If he did, then he'd definitely be able to.
But so is he saying that the first type of knowledge about the future things is intrinsically impossible, like this other knowledge, or is he just saying it's different? Like, I mean.
No, that's an interesting question because depends. I mean, we practically can harness a lot of nature. I mean, the farmer does know that the seed is going to come out of the ground, right? I don't think he's talking in that realm. I don't think he's talking in the practical realm. I think he's talking in the idea realm. Meaning but what? As I'm saying, in the idea realm, there is this type of knowledge of what happened that will not allow you to predict the future. I'll give you an example, like the weather.
Too many variables.
Correct. Sometimes it's just too many variables, and you never know. You don't know exactly how the forces are going to resolve themselves. But in the end, you can say, "Oh, I see this front pushed through over here, and whatever it is."
Right.
It's just like a quantitative, like.
Because you can't really ascertain the full level of the interaction.
But then you don't really know why that thing happened. You can just sort of have a superficial understanding of what happened.
Right.
If you really understood what was happening with those forces, then you would be
able
to predict.
Well, it's possible that even if you would fully understand, you just wouldn't have all the computational power to know what's going to.
They know like what cold pressure or low pressure will affect this or high pressure will affect that, but they don't know all the different factors. There's just too many factors.
And it's coming from all sides.
Yeah,
you can't isolate one patch of land. You can't take Far Rockaway and figure it out.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it is just one planet.
Like 20% chance of rain or something.
So you're saying it's beyond copy.
You can't.
Sorry to break you.
You can't isolate it down to one planet. I mean, it is capable of being isolated.
You probably need another planet filled with supercomputers to compute the.
Okay, so it is possible. With, like, another planet.
But it's but it's possible to have knowledge of what happened but not be able to predict the future. Right? If it's too complex.
You say the same thing about
complexity. Yeah, like economists.
It sounds like just like a quantitative lack. It's like,
yeah,
in theory, I really could.
Exactly.
I'm just
kind of
lazy.
Exactly. And Shlomo is saying, not lazy.
It's not lazy. It's human.
And Shlomo is saying that's not what the problem. No, he's saying there's a barrier to tapping into the future, into nature. Saying it's not just the complexity issue. That's what he's saying. It's not just the complexity issue. It's a deeper intrinsic problem. That's what the pasuk is saying. Rechoka mimeni, he says, it's rechoka mimeni, that could be because it's just too hard to compute all of these factors. Right? But then I would be able to tell you why it happened in the end. But Shlomo is saying nature is even deeper. The distance is not just a practical barrier, it's an impossibility. I can't even really tell you what happened.
It's kind of disheartening.
And that's in line with the idea that he's trying to say?
That's that, right. That's okay. What Shlomo was expressing over here.
The second
No, one. But there's something to look forward to. You might be, you have to get down to the
that
level.
Shlomo's saying that you didn't have him as a
He's saying, Kozen no sisi b'chol.
Oh, that's right, it's himself.
That's what he's saying. He's saying that he says from Chochmah, from testing Chochmah, he can get this.
Also, he was a Nabi, wasn't he? So
yes.
He did have.
Right, that's what he's saying. Kol zeh nasisi b'chochmah amarti. Amarti
achram. Oh, they tested.
That's right.
Then you wouldn't have to know that he wouldn't have to say it tested.
And he knew the answer, see? So. Go ahead.
Lachin tzachak ha-ramam zal.
This is funny.
Al galanish. Kishamra shehiyos ha-adam tzochek. Lo yada lo siba.
So the Rambam laughed. I mean, he's being
ironic.
He's being, what do you say?
Ironic.
Yeah. He says that the Rambam laughed about. How do you pronounce the name? Galenus,
is what it is.
Galenus? The Rambam laughed at Galenus.
Of the Rambam?
Yeah. The Rambam was a doctor. And Galenus was the biggest doctor in this time. And the Rambam laughed at him because he said that he doesn't know why people laugh. He's the guy the Rambam said that sometimes there's a guy who's a great chacham in one area and he tries to go into other areas, he becomes a big fool.
Because he didn't want to even know anything about good and evil and truth.
I don't think I was the one who asked the Rambam the question. Okay. No, I wasn't the one who asked the Rambam. But he did try to go into philosophy. And he says he was good in medicine, it doesn't carry over. But anyway, so he's saying that it was a silly question. Say, why does a person laugh? Why?
It's a funny one,
right? It's a funny one. What does he mean by that? You cannot know why a person laughs. Huh?
Which he then laughed.
Cannot know why a person laughs.
He's interested in funny things.
Funny.
I mean, why is laughing different than anything?
Human
you can't really know anything about it.
What would you say to Freud?
Freud?
Jokes in the relation to the unconscious.
Good book.
Big book. You wrote a lot on it.
Not very funny though.
No, there are a lot of jokes in that book.
Yeah.
It looks like the Rambam would laugh at it.
But not know why. But,
It's funny, he said the Rambam would laugh, and he's like, the Rambam wouldn't know why he would laugh.
So he's like, it's a reaction, you can't.
It's really paradoxical.
Yeah, what does he mean? It's mikata nimna.
Yeah.
It's possible to know why does a person laugh. Why does a person laugh?
I don't know fully because I haven't finished the book, but it was a connection. It was a certain surprise. It mirrored the unconscious and conscious.
Certain release of energy.
Yeah. You probably know better than I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he also says it's not possible to know why a magnet attracts metal. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think people know why pepper is hot, though. That's the one thing we don't know.
Can it just be like he's laughing at the question he asked? Like the way he asked the question?
Right, but if it's a good question, why should he laugh at it?
Because it's funny.
Yeah.
According to him, we still don't know the cause of the magnet, real cause.
See, that's the old debate, the old problem with like you're saying. When do you give up? You know? Modern day scientists would say modern day guy would say, yeah, well, the Ron would have given up and would not have had any progress if we adopted his attitudes. Right?
Mm-hmm. That's not what he's saying. Yeah. Okay. He's saying you consider the interactions to all the extent that you can. You just can't know the essence.
Right.
So that's going to be hard.
Right. Now, the way we got more of this knowledge was because we had new facts. Mm-hmm. We had new facts. I mean, with electricity, and that led to the ideas of magnetism. Right. But so we'd say the same thing with the psyche. I mean, with the laughing.
Why would I don't? That's not something we didn't have though. The human didn't change. Like man didn't change.
Well, but we did have new methods of reaching
further
facts.
In other words,
right?
Given the fact that there's no knowledge of let's say you don't have a knowledge of the let's assume you believe Freud is correct. Let's start there. Okay. And now, given the fact that a person does not have the knowledge of the discoveries that he made, right? Mm-hmm. Is it accurate to say that to know laughing is an impossibility?
You mean insofar as our definition of
what interactions might cause it, but you can't know the essence that'll actually
right
what it is. It's the same thing as like the weather. I mean, there's lots of factors, but you just can't know.
I mean, it's like the weather. But then they didn't even have the components. I mean, if you're pre-Freudian, right? You don't even have the components.
More components, more problems. You're just gonna go into deeper levels of questions.
You mean so you're still never gonna know?
You'll never know. You'll always have more questions.
But you are getting closer, though, right?
The only thing that Rambam says is that it's silly for a guy like. It's silly at the stage of knowledge that we have by Galen, right?
Ironically enough.
That's a funny humor.
Yeah, I know.
that's the old philosophy, like the hot brain,
wet brain,
and all those different things, dry brains.
There's a medical philosophy that's out of it.
Were those like insults?
No, the Ram has all that stuff. If you have a wet brain, you'll be intelligent. If you have a dry brain,
the two squares.
I never have.
Is that literal?
No. Is it literal?
That's how I thought about it.
If your brain is more juicy.
If you're too hot,
wouldn't it theoretically be possible to understand a joke that we do have internally?
He's the one that did the blood.
Meaning that, like, I am the thing that relates to the joke. So since I am the thing, wouldn't it be possible for me to know myself internally, since I know myself even when I'm not being acted upon? So couldn't like joke maybe be one of the few things that could be understood?
I don't know. People don't really know themselves.
I know, but meaning of the things that
people generally have a better chance of knowing other people than they do themselves.
It's not biased.
But of the things I could know best, probably the thing that within my capacities were I to allow myself would be myself.
Your underlying workings of your psyche, how you can understand how a joke is funny.
But I mean,
you're saying for a guy like Galen to try to say what's the cause for a joke is preposterous. It's impossible. You just have to say it's part of the person's psyche. You have to say it's part of the psychological makeup of man that he laughs. You can't go into any greater causes than that. I mean, he was looking for other causes, apparently. Apparently he was looking for, like, a physical reactive cause of some sort. I don't know exactly what he was even looking for. It's hard to know.
The nature of man's psyche?
They couldn't know it. I mean, I'm saying, all the Ram is saying that for a guy like at that level of knowledge of the psyche, to understand it is crazy. To say he wants to know the reason is crazy. Because you want to know an accidental thing when you don't even know the full, you don't even know anything about where it's stemming from. I mean, a joke, a laugh, is just a component of how, like you said, greater entities interact. Now, if you have no knowledge of any of those greater entities, it's a silly question to ask, how does the interaction of those entities produce a laugh?
Do you think it would be different now?
Now it would be different, I think. I mean, you can get more, it's not a silly question.
You're getting closer.
It's something you can investigate. Right. It's something that you can investigate. But in those days, you're saying you couldn't even investigate it, because what, you'll tell a joke, you see what happens, but you don't know anything about the psyche. You don't know what it's composed of. You don't know what's reacting. You know nothing. It's like a closed box.
Was Gillen assuming it was just like a physical thing?
Gillen. What?
Was he just assuming that
I don't know. I mean, where is this? You can look it up. We need Moshe Zucker here. He probably has this book at home. Right? No, I'm not joking. Pirkei Moshe Berufu. Didn't Rosner translate it?
Could it be that Gillen was looking for the physical reaction first?
I don't want to guess. Let's see. Let's see if we can get the book. Be curious. Anyway, go ahead.
והנה לפי זה, מה שבראשית היא חוכמת הטבע האמיתית. לא עושה שיספלסו והמשחקים.
Philosophy.
והיא אמיתית ידיעת עצמי הדברים.
Okay, so that's what my Sebrace is. It's the true nature. It's the nature of the, it's the chacham of the true nature of the thing. Not the stuff that the chacham, not the philosophers, not the stuff that the philosophers figured out. That stems from the source of these tsuros.
Okay.
Not knowledge that stems from its interactions, knowledge that stems from the nosnei tsuro. Impossible to know that without nevuah.
וכן היצא חכמה שמשה בראשית סמוכה ומצרניס למשה מרכבה ושנייה אליה במעלה.
So that's why, now that's why Maisa Bracious is close and borders Maisa Merkava. And it's only second to it in levels. Because both of these Chachmas, Maisa Bracious and Maisa Merkava, really are involved in understanding the abstract existences of, it's really both metaphysics. Really, both metaphysics. It's not metaphysics in the same way.
One is a study of physical things, and one is a study of non-physical.
Yeah, that's what he tries to say. Now, so if you tell me, so then why is it different? Let's just see if we can
figure it out. Vim tishal lidvreina hine masiv reishis hu ba'atma masiv merkava.
Yeah, now it turns out that you're not really studying the physical world. You're studying the abstract tsura of the thing.
שאחרי שמסב ראשיס איננו כי אם ידיעת צורות הדברים, שהוא נסלה ונמשך מנסני הצורותם, שהם השכלים הנבדלים, הנה העיון בזה וההשגה היא בשכלים הנבדלים, וראש יהיה זה מסב מרכבה.
So he says, now it really turns out that the focus is on the נוסני הצור, the מלאכם. So it's really a study of מסב מרכבה. Go ahead.
התשובה, ראש תדע כי יש בהשגה ענייני השכלים הנבדלים שני חלקים.
There's two ways of understanding these malachim.
Ve'ha'echad ha'hitalus v'hikasher ma'ash l'mata mehem bahem.
So one is that which is dependent and tied to them below them.
Okay.
That's ma'isim vibrations.
Okay.
V'asheni ha'hitalusam v'himashcha mimashu l'mala mehem.
The second one is how they are related to what's above them.
What's the they?
The malachim.
No, wouldn't they be the ma'isim vibrations?
No, the malachim.
Oh, right. So we don't understand them at all, just the things
that's
around them?
That's Maisa Merkava, is to understand their existence.
Uh-huh.
What things are above all of them?
God.
Vein safek sheish bein shtei ha'asagos hevdel atzum.
Vehu sheh... Two understandings.
Sheha'iyun v'ha'asaga b'mash al-mala mehem, ein safek shu yoser gdole ha'erech v'ikar ha'mala meha'iyun b'mash hu l'mata mehem.
Right, let's understand how Malachim exist as opposed to God's existence, that type of thing. That's Maisa Merkava.
V'lozeh yihye Maisa Breshis, yidiyas atzuros hadvarim al mitasam, shuhi kasher hametzius hatachton v'malachim, v'yihye Maisa Merkava, yidiyas himashech v'hishtalshel hamalachim me'ashem.
Right, so Maisa Breshis is from these things, really understand these things, which is tied to the Malachim, right?
Right.
which they're below. Ma'aseh v'ma'aseh merkava is how the malachim are coming out and their relationship, their existence vis-a-vis God.
Is everything in relation to malachim? You can't study the things itself. I mean,
but that's what the study of malachim is. That's the study. Saying here, you have to understand an idea of malachim. You can't just be bombarding it with experiments. You have to go out of nature and into the realm of abstract existences. Understand the thing as it exists in an abstract sense. But you don't really have to study the malachim as a subject. Ma'aseh merkava is really where you're studying them.
You have to know the, like, if, I mean, it seems that in order to, like, the malachim, that's like the essence, that's the tzura, right? That's the same thing.
The malachim, take a peruse the first four parakim of the Rambam Yisrael Torah. First two, he says, this is Ma'aseh Merkava, and three and four, he says, this is Ma'aseh Bereishis.
I'm not clear, but is it that it's impossible to understand without Nevuah, or is it saying that the information is only bestowed by a Nevuah and a Navi could tell?
Impossible to understand.
That.
Oh, well, if a Navi tells one person, that person can tell a second person.
That's how we have done the Sorah. Like,
so
not,
then,
not everyone
so then a guy could understand Ma'aseh Bereishis without being a Navi.
Correct.
You can't access
but you can't start that knowledge.
Okay.
Where is
the knowledge in
it was handed down in the Masorah.
There shouldn't be
it was handed down in the Masorah. The Rambam holds the Masorah.